are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. When I say we are, you say Easter people. We are. Come on, we are
Easter people.
One more time for the Holy Spirit. We are
Easter people.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Let's pray. Father, we thank you on this resurrection day that Jesus is not dead. He is alive just as he said he would be. He's risen. We thank you, God, that we are Easter people. We pray that your Spirit would speak to us, alive in us, as we hear your word read and proclaimed this day. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hear now the word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jesus was dead. He was dead. He had been flogged by Roman soldiers, a beating with a whip that contained chips of bone and metal to ensure that it would tear into flesh. Mocking his royal majesty, a crown of thorns was violently placed on his head. Then there was the pounding of nails through his hands and feet into a wooden cross. And after much suffering, unimaginable suffering, he breathed his last. He said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus, he was dead. Now, Jesus was neither the first nor the last person to be crucified by Rome. 70 years before the crucifixion of Jesus, 6,000 people were crucified by Rome after the Spartacus rebellion. The empire crucified 6,000 people on a road that led out of the city of Rome. Crosses lined the road for 124 miles. Listen, the drive from Charlotte, North Carolina to Greenville, South Carolina is only 100 miles. Imagine it, lined with those suffering crucifixion. Even after Jesus' crucifixion, Rome crucified about 500 people every day. This was a constant, demoralizing, and dehumanizing reminder that the strong oppress the weak, that the rich do whatever they want to the poor, that the world is not as it should be, and that the monstrous powers of evil embodied in the empire of Rome crush anybody that gets in the way. Jesus, he was dead. The disciples had hoped, that Jesus was the one who would change things. For 3 years, three glorious years, they followed Jesus and heard him speak about the kingdom of God being, Jesus said, at hand. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. They heard him speak of, and in his presence, they got a glimpse of God's reign of justice, peace, joy, love, and righteousness. They saw him heal the sick, open blind eyes, and cast out demons. They had hoped that he was the one to fix everything, but Jesus was dead. He was dead. Mary Magdalene was there. She saw how he had been violently crucified on Friday. On Sunday morning, she got up to go visit his tomb. Listen carefully to just the first half of the first verse of John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? I'll read it again. Early on the
first day, the first day, the first day of the week, while it was still dark. This takes us back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. John 20, early on the first day. Back to Genesis, darkness was over the surface. Back to John, while it was still dark. Although thousands had been violently crucified by Rome in the death of Jesus, the creative power of Almighty God was at work. God was doing something to restore, redeem, make right his creation that had been ruined in the fall. So, early on the first day, of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. You can imagine Mary's shock and surprise when she got to the tomb and discovered that the stone, that huge stone, had been rolled away from the entrance and that Jesus' body was gone. I can tell you what she was not thinking. She was not thinking resurrection. She was not thinking resurrection. She thought somebody took the body. The Bible tells us that she ran away from the tomb, went to Simon Peter and to John. She said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. She was not thinking resurrection. She was thinking that somebody took his dead body. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. With this, Peter and John got up and started running for the tomb. At first, they were running together, but John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. When John got to the entrance, he stopped at the entrance of the tomb and did not go in. He simply bent down and looked into the tomb. And when he looked in, he saw the linen cloths that Jesus had been buried in lying there. After a few moments, Peter caught up, made it to the tomb. He went past John and went into the tomb. When he did, he not only saw the linen cloths that John saw, he also saw another cloth that had been around Jesus' head, rolled up by itself. It was as if Jesus' body just lifted out of the linen cloth and they just lay there like an empty cocoon. Do you remember when Jesus, before his crucifixion, went to the tomb of Lazarus and called his friend Lazarus out of the grave? Lazarus, come forth. And when Lazarus came out of the grave, he still had the grave clothes on. We also know that Lazarus eventually died again and needed those grave clothes again. But something different happened to Jesus. Lazarus went into death, was brought out of death, and eventually went back into death. Jesus entered death, went through death, and came out bodily on the other side of death, never to die again. While Peter was looking at Jesus' grave cloths lying there, John entered the tomb, saw the cloths. The Bible says in verse 9 that he believed. He believed. He didn't fully understand He didn't fully understand. He couldn't put all of the puzzle pieces together. He didn't fully understand, but he believed. The linen cloth was the evidence. And you can imagine the goosebumps upon goosebumps upon goosebumps and the hair standing on the back of his neck when he believed that Jesus was alive. Throughout history, people have said that the reason the tomb was empty was because the disciples stole the body to make people think that Jesus was resurrected. That is nonsense. Nonsense. We've already seen that the disciples, they were not even thinking resurrection. Their understanding of what happened to Jesus grew slowly. Also, grave robbers don't leave grave clothes neatly placed in a tomb. John believed that Jesus was alive. Well, Peter and John went home, but Mary stayed at the tomb. She was weeping. And as she wept, she decided to bend down and look into the tomb. And when she did, she saw two angels sitting where Jesus' body had been placed, one at the head, one at the feet. Allow your mind once again to go back to the Old Testament just for a moment. Allow your mind to go back to the Old Testament. Those two angels sitting in the tomb remind us of something. They are a picture of something. Those two angels sitting in the tomb remind us of those two golden angels on the Ark of the Covenant on the inside in the Holy of Holies in the temple. You remember the Ark of the Covenant, that gold box? And there are two golden angels with wings stretched out, and in between the wings the glory of God dwelled. And it was there in the Ark of the Covenant. It's called the mercy seat. It was there where the high priest brought the blood of the sacrifice to make atonement for the people. Mary saw these angels. The angels asked, "Why are you weeping?" And Mary repeated what she said earlier to Peter and John. "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Just then she turned around. Maybe she heard the crunching sound of steps on the ground. Or maybe she had that feeling that we all get when we just know that someone is standing behind us. When Mary turned around, it was Jesus. But the Bible says she didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. Again, our minds should go back to Genesis. The Garden of Eden. She thought he was the gardener. Her theory on what happened to Jesus' body began to change ever so slightly. Instead of the religious leaders taking it, maybe this gardener has moved it. And so she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." She still thinks he's dead. Jesus called her by name, Mary. And in that moment, she got it. In that moment, she got it. Jesus' body was not stolen or moved. Jesus was no longer dead. He was alive and standing right in front of her. Mary saw the risen Christ. She saw him. Now, some say that Mary was having a psychological hallucination, the kind people today have when they think they see a loved one who has died. But later that same day, Jesus appeared to a gathering of disciples and showed them his hands and his side. As a matter of fact, for 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, for 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that on one occasion, Jesus appeared to over 500 disciples at the same time. They all saw him. This was no hallucination. Mary ran from the tomb to tell the others, "I have seen the Lord." Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive. He is risen just as he said. That reality changed them. It changes everything. The victory that belongs to Jesus because of his resurrection from the dead is the victory that was imparted to them and the victory that is imparted to us. We are Easter people. We live in the glorious, joy-filled, hope-filled, spirit-filled light of the resurrection of Jesus. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is the sign and guarantee that light conquers darkness, love conquers hate, right conquers wrong. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is the sign and guarantee that every shadow of evil will disappear in the light of our glorious Savior. We are Easter people. We are Easter people. Because the resurrection means, first of all, that Jesus is who he says he is. The resurrection is a confirmation of Jesus' identity. He is more than a good teacher. He is more than a good moral example. He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he is. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says that Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. You can put your faith in Jesus. You can give your life to Jesus because the resurrection proves that he is who he says he is. He is the incarnation of Almighty God. He is the Savior, the Lord, the King, the one who sits on heaven's throne. He is God. And he wants to come into your life and be your Savior, your Lord, your King, and your God. We are Easter people. We are Easter people because the resurrection is the Father's approval. The resurrection is the Father's acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice as the atonement for our sin. The resurrection means that God the Father says yes to the death of Jesus on the cross as the means by which you are forgiven. Jesus said that he came to give his life a ransom for many. When John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The resurrection is the Father's yes to Jesus' death on the cross as the atonement for your sin. You got to understand that the pain of Jesus on the cross wasn't simply the nails in his hands and his feet, wasn't simply the beatings, wasn't simply the crown of thorns. It was that the Father poured out the punishment for sin that you deserve and I deserve onto Jesus. And he took that punishment for us on the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we're still in our sin. But then three verses later, Paul writes, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Oh, we're Easter people because in the resurrection, the God the Father is saying yes to Jesus' atoning blood. Listen, if you read the Gospel of John, 108 times, Jesus refers to God as Father. But there is only one time, if you read the Gospel of John, one time Jesus refers to God as the disciples' Father. It is after his resurrection when he tells Mary, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. Jesus brings us into the very household of God by his blood shed on the cross. He reconciles us to the holy God, and we are brought into God's household. Oh, the resurrection is God the Father saying yes to the shed blood of Jesus for your sin. We are Easter people. We're Easter people, third, because the resurrection means that there is good news even in the graveyard. There's good news even in the graveyard. There's victory over death. Jesus said, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Remember what Jesus said to the criminal next to him on the cross? He said, today, when you die, today, you will be with me in paradise. 1 Corinthians 15 says that death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, my friends, because Jesus lives, death is not, it's not a condition, but a transition. When you breathe your last breath, your body will be put in the ground. Your spirit will go and be with the Lord. The Bible says that when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. They will put your body in the ground. It will turn to dust, but your spirit will go and be with the Lord, because Jesus said, I have prepared a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. But when Jesus comes again, when the trumpet sounds and he splits the skies and he comes, the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise. They will rise out of their graves, and we will receive new bodies, eternal bodies, bodies not subject to disease or decay or sickness. We will have those bodies for eternity. I'm telling you this morning, there is victory over the grave. We are Easter people. We're Easter people because the resurrection means that the devil is a defeated foe. Now, I know that's hard for many people to believe because we see so much evil in the world. It's hard for you to believe that. All you have to do is turn on the evening news and fill your mind with doubts. It seems that we're constantly hearing about children being harmed, shootings, murders, the rich getting richer, the poor getting poor. It's hard sometimes to believe that evil is on the way out when there is so much injustice, unfairness, violence, prejudice, and just meanness in the world. That's why I'm not on Twitter or Facebook. But the Bible says that when Jesus began to teach and preach, he said, the kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. The kingdom of God, this realm where God rules, this kingdom of God where there is justice and fairness, equality, where nobody is hungry, where nobody is fighting. And as people submit to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God expands and expands and expands and expands. And the Bible says that one day Jesus himself will return and fully establish the kingdom. And then all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And the nations shall beat their swords and the plowshares and their spears and the pruning hooks. And the lion will lay down with the lamb. You see, you got to understand, the powers of darkness know this. They know this day is coming. And so they are furiously fighting. Like a wounded animal about to lose its life. Understand that Jesus, Satan, fought a cosmic battle for the souls of men and women and for the destiny of creation. And the resurrection is the proof that Jesus won. Jesus won. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this: the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Because Jesus got up from the grave, Satan is a defeated foe. Finally, this morning, We are Easter people because we live in a world. We live right now today. We live in a world in which the kingdom of God, new creation, has broken in. Margaret, would you put that picture up? Yeah. That's the world we live in right now. That's the world. Look at that flower breaking through the asphalt. That's the world we live in. Death and evil do not have the last word. In the midst of this fallen world, in the midst of all the evil of this world, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the kingdom of God has broken in. Remember some of the parables that Jesus told us? He said, the kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed. He says, the kingdom, it's going to seem like this small, insignificant thing. He said, the kingdom of God, this realm where God rules, where everything is right and good, the kingdom is like a mustard seed. And when it's put in the ground, it will grow and spread and spread and become a great tree. This small, insignificant, seemingly insignificant thing will grow. He said the kingdom of God is like yeast. It's small. Yeast is small. Seemingly insignificant. But once it gets in the dough, once it breaks through, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like yeast, and it will work through the dough. It will leaven all of that dough. Listen, friends, what God has done for Jesus in raising him from the dead, what God the Father will do for us, is what God will do for the entire creation. God is not going to wad up the earth and throw it in the trash. God is renewing, redeeming, restoring, making creation new. In the resurrection of Jesus, God has started and will finish setting the world right. We are Easter people who live in light of this reality. So, Tell your face to get glad. The kingdom of God is broken in. Here's my concern for many of you. Here's my concern for you. My concern is that you will leave this house today and say, well, wasn't that a nice Easter service? And by tomorrow morning, you will think, well, it's time to go back to the real world. And by that you mean the old world. The world of Rome. The world in which might makes right. The world in which power and money are the ultimate prize. Where meekness is seen as weakness. The world in which death dominates. My concern for you is that tomorrow you will act like the resurrection never happened. That's my concern for most of you this morning. Tomorrow morning, you will act like the resurrection of Jesus never happened. You will live in fear. You will live in worry. You will live in joylessness. And you will go back to an old, gray, dead religion. And you know what we ought to do around here? We ought to start calling each other out. Are you living in this reality, or have you gone back to the old world? Friends, in the name of Jesus, I plead with you to open your heart to the risen Lord, to open your life to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. For church, we are not here on this plot of ground on Sugar Creek Road to just try and survive. We're not here on this plot of ground just hanging on. We're not here even to save the church. We are Easter people. We are here to joyfully share the hope of Jesus. Why? Because he is not dead. He is risen just as he said. Hallelujah. Amen.